Hello and welcome this evening. It's a joy to be able to spend Christmas Eve with you to celebrate the coming of Christmas Day. My name is Adam Curtis. I grew up coming to this church. Was here for many years, and now I'm off in London training to be a vicar with the Church of England. And the answer to the question, which you're probably thinking, is 6'6". As it's Christmas time, why don't we just spend a few moments thinking about the best and worst Christmas gifts we've been given. What about worst? Well, I was chatting to my friend Jill the other day, and last Christmas her grandmother gave her a bicycle seat, but Jill doesn't own a bicycle. I remember being a little boy, and my parents, very lovingly and generously, gave me a hat, which covered my ears as well. And I remember ripping this open as a small child, seeing this hat, and I just burst into tears and started this huge tantrum. And actually, tantrum and gift giving, like, is something I've got in common, really. Because when I was a little boy again, starting school in September, my mother went and she bought me some new shoes because she wants a little boy to look good on his first day. So she bought me these new shoes. I saw these new shoes and I was like, these are horrible. I do not want to wear these shoes. So when she wasn't looking, I put them in a bag. I went to our rubbish bin. I pulled out loads of rubbish and I put the shoes deep inside and then covered it again. Because I didn't want to wear these shoes. Okay, so maybe some bad gifts. What about good gifts? What about good gifts? I'm sure you've already been wrapping all day some gifts which you know, oh, these are perfect. My loved one is going to love this one. And I remember being at uni, and my friend James, his parents always gave him the best gift every Christmas. It was incredible, because every single Christmas, they would fly away to Australia for 2 weeks. It was outrageous. They would get the gift of winter sun. So I would come back after the hard, cold, dark Tunbridge Wells Christmas, looking pasty, and he would come back looking tanned and refreshed and energized and ready to go. So the best and worst gifts. Well, what's the best gift that God could give us? What's the best gift that God could give us? Maybe you think, okay, well, ooh, I'd really like a first home, my very first home. Like, Tunbridge Wells is expensive. I'd like to get on the ladder. Or maybe you're like, actually, I just would like a bigger home. I'm on that ladder and I want a bigger home. Or maybe you're like, oh, I really would love it if God would enable me just to get married. I want the gift of marriage. I want to be married. Or maybe you're like, ah, you know what? I just wish I had a happier marriage, a healthier marriage, a better marriage. Or maybe you're like, oh, I just get these endless migraines which just get me down all the time. Or maybe you're like, actually, I really want God to give me the gift of a cure for cancer. It's eating me up, or it's eating someone else up who I love deeply. I get that. I get it. We look to God, the creator and maker of absolutely everything, and like, come on. Please, God, why don't you give us these good gifts? If only I had this thing, then actually my life would be better. It would be easier. It would be easier to follow you, to be a Christian. It would be easier to live. It would be easier to love. If only I had that thing. Well, what does God have to say to us today? Well, here, right at the start of John's Gospel, right at the start of this eyewitness account of Jesus' life, we discover what God's greatest gift is, the number one thing which he thinks we need above all else. And the first few verses help us see the identity of this gift. Please look down with me at John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Now, Word is another title for Jesus. And the idea of Word, it's like how your mind is always linked to the words which come out of your mouth. And Jesus, he is forever linked with God the Father. So they're separate persons, but they are the same being. So Jesus is with God, and Jesus is God. He was with God in the beginning. Verse 3, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness have not overcome it. So Jesus, who is God and who's always been with God since the very beginning, he has made all things and he is described as the light of life. Now my friend James, when he went off to Australia each winter, he got to appreciate that winter sun and he would come back energized. Because we know how life-giving the sun is. It energizes us. But we also know how vital the sun is. When the seeds are thrown out at harvest time, the sun needs to shine forth upon them so that these little seeds can grow into an incredible crop. We need the sun. NASA, on their education page, said, without the sun's heat and light, the earth would be a lifeless ball of ice-coated rock. The sun gives life. Jesus, he is the light. He is the light of life. He is like the sun and greater than the sun. He has given us life. He is the author and the source of all life. He gives us air to breathe, food to eat. He has knitted us together in our mother's wombs. He is the source of all light. He is the life of light. And this light of life is coming into the world. Verse 9, the true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. When we think of God, we shouldn't think of him as being far away, distant, sitting up on a cloud, surrounded by his angels with his wonderful harps. That is not the God we know. That is not the God who's been revealed to us. God has come down to earth in the God-man Jesus. The light of life has come to earth to dwell among us. My friends, they've got three little boys. And on the last night of November, when they're having their evening meal, they turn off all the lights and they eat the meal completely in darkness. And on the 1st of December, they light just one candle and they eat it with one candle. Then 5th of December, there's 5 candles. 10th of December, 10 candles. 25th of December, there are going to be 25 candles tomorrow. And this signifies that the light of life is coming into the world. It is coming into the world. Jesus has come into the world. The one, the author of all things, has come into the world. And we're told all who receive this light of life, they get to become children of God. We see this from verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. All who receive the light of life get to become children of God. Imagine, if you will, a little orphan boy on Christmas Day. He's spent most of the day just by himself. Then late in the afternoon, his social worker comes to visit and she's got a little present for him. So he gets that present and he rips it open. And it's a picture. It's a picture of the family who are going to adopt him. And the social worker's like, come on, we're going to go meet them. So off he goes into the car and they start driving to the house. And as they're driving there, he's just feeling, oh, so nervous, so overwhelmed by the whole thing. And it's like the weather starts to match what he's feeling. Because actually, as they're driving, it's darker and darker and darker. And they arrive in front of this big house. And they start to walk in the darkness towards this big house. But before they're there, before they've even rung the doorbell, well, the door has been flung open and light is just flooding out. And this little orphan boy, well, he can hear with his ears like the sound of just joy and laughter. And he can smell with his nose just like that smell of wonderful turkey just cooking. And he can see with his eyes, now that the light has revealed everything, this man and this woman, his future mom and his future dad, smiling and welcoming him in. And so he runs in. He runs in. If we receive the light of life, then we get to become God's very children. We will have a room in his house. We will have a place at his table. He, the maker of all things, will be our very father. But how? How could this ridiculous thing happen? How could we become children of God? Well, because Jesus brings grace and truth. Look down with me at verse 17. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. See, God gave his law. God gave his law to Moses, the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments. And the law, we're told in the Bible, acts like a mirror. So we look into the law, we look into this mirror, and we see ourselves. So as we see the law, we see ourselves clearly. We see ourselves for who we really are. And Jesus, he summarizes the entire law of Moses. He says it is love of God and love of neighbor. So as we look into the law, as we look into the mirror, we see ourselves. And we see, have I been loving God as I should? Have I been loving my neighbor as I should? And actually, what does that mirror tell me? Am I only praying to God when I want that exam result? Or that new house? Or that marriage which works? Am I only using him like a vending machine? Or am I giving him my worship, my praise, my life, my all? Am I loving my neighbor as myself? Or the good things which I do, are they really only good? And the only reason I do them is because they make me feel better about myself? Or because actually this person is going to show me a bit of love and respect back? When we look into the mirror of God's law, we see ourselves for who we are. And the reality is, when we look into that mirror, when we look into the mirror of God's law, it's not a pretty picture. As I look into the mirror of God's law, I'm not happy with what I see. In fact, I'm disgusted with what I see. Imagine, if you will, that my entire life and everything I have done is written in this book. Every time I haven't loved God as I should. Every time I haven't loved my neighbor as I should. Every time I haven't honored my parents. In the Ten Commandments, it talks about, one of them is, you shall not murder. But Jesus, he expands that. He says murder isn't just going up to someone and stabbing them in the heart. Murder is when you feel such anger and rage in your own heart that you could murder them. I've never stabbed anyone. I'm not in jail. I haven't done it. But I felt that murder in my heart. If everything I'd done was written in here, I'd be a disgrace. This book would be filled, absolutely filled. But Jesus has come. Jesus has come, and he is filled with grace and truth. Grace, a gift you do not deserve. He has come and he has brought forgiveness. So now we can look at the book of my life, and every page is blank. Every single page is as white as snow, because Jesus has come and he has washed it clean. The Bible language for this is baptism. You've been washed in the water. You are now clean. Every page is as white as snow, because Jesus has come and he has brought about forgiveness. Jesus is God's greatest gift. Jesus is God's greatest gift. God could heal cancer. He has the power. He has the ability. God could end every single material need which we have right now. God could cease any more need for tears and for weeping and for hurt. He could do that. He is not weak. And God has said that he will do that. In the end of time, God has promised that in heaven there will be no tears. That cancer will just be a thing of the past, of our forgotten memory. God has said he will do that, but he has also said that isn't the one thing we need. That's not our greatest need. And so his greatest gift of Jesus Christ doesn't meet that need, because it meets our greater need. It meets our need of failing to live a life which gives him honor and glory, of looking in the mirror of the law and seeing ourselves for who we are, of being rebels to God. So he sent Jesus, filled with grace and filled with truth, to enable forgiveness to happen, to enable our greatest need to be met. You know what? There are many good things which I wish I had. Oh, so many. There's so many hard things which I see in my life and which, yeah, bring me down. I'm like, I really wish God would change that, would enable that. I really, really wish that would happen. But the reality is, my greatest need has been met. I've received Jesus. I have Jesus. I am forgiven. I'm now a child of God. My sins have been dealt with. They're washed whiter than snow. So what is God saying to us today, this Christmas Eve? Receive Jesus. Receive Jesus. He is God's greatest gift. He is the light of life who has come to dwell among us. What do you do when you get that present you really want? And you know it's coming and you know you're being given it. Well, you rip it open. You rip off that wrapping paper because you want it. You want to enjoy it. What did my buddy James do when his parents told him we're going off to Australia? Well, he jumped on the plane so he could get there to enjoy this gift. Receive Jesus. Don't be like that spoiled brat of a child, Adam, who got a great gift of a hat and then screamed and cried, or hid those shoes deep in that bin. Receive Jesus. And what does it look like? What does it look like for us to say yes? Yes to God. Well, it looks like us saying, oh, well, I believe in you, Jesus. I believe that you are the light of life. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that it is only you who bring grace and truth. My housemate, Nick, is a South African guy, and he grew up going in a wonderful home, wonderful family, and they would casually go along to church. But he never actually met or really knew who Jesus was until he came to do his PhD in Cambridge. And while he was doing his PhD in Cambridge, he went to this great church which preached God's word, and he slowly got to know more and more about who Jesus was. And as he got to see who Jesus really was, he got to see who he himself was as well, and his need for forgiveness. And as he saw his need, as he turned to Jesus, as he believed in Jesus, as he received it, as he ripped up that wrapping paper to take that gift of life, well, he gave his life to Jesus. Now, suddenly, all these priorities of being this great engineer, this great academic, of changing the world, of being on the face of every newspaper, these great dreams he had, well, suddenly they started to fade away as he realized the one thing he needed to do above all else is receive Jesus and live for Jesus. Well, what about you? What is God saying to you today? Maybe you're here and you're like, Adam, mate, I really just came for the carols. I just came for the carols. And like, well, thank you so much for coming. It's so good to see you here. Thank you so much. But I've got to say, one day you're going to meet your maker. You're going to meet him. That's what's going to happen. Are you ready for that day? Or maybe you're like, Adam, I'm intrigued by this. And I'd love to just know a little bit more. I'd love to know a little bit more. Well, at the back when you leave, there'll be little booklets called The Gift, which explores this a little bit further. So take one. They're a free gift from us. Or maybe you're like, actually, I'm not just intrigued. I need to know more. I have to know more. God is speaking to me now, and I have to know more. Well, at this church, there's loads of opportunities in Christianity Explored courses or coming along each Sunday or meeting up with people to talk further and to delve deeper. So come along. Explore. Or maybe you're thinking, like, mate, Adam, like, this sounds so intriguing. Jesus, grace, truth, I love it. But you don't know who I am. You don't know what I've done. You don't know how much guilt I feel. God's love is greater. God's love will cover any guilt. It is big enough for you. Or maybe you're like, Adam, I want to receive the gift. I want to wrap open that present. I want it right now. Well, it's about turning to God and praying to him, Jesus, I receive you as the gift. I believe that you are the Son of God who has come into the world, who washes my sins away. Or maybe you're here and you're saying, Adam, I'm a committed Christian. I love Jesus. Well, then rejoice, because this is our truth. We are God's children. This defines us every single day. No matter if Christmas Day tomorrow is a nightmare or one of the best days ever, we are God's children. So rejoice. What is God saying to us, to you, today? I've been doing lots of speaking. So why don't we just spend a moment in silence, just to reflect on what God is saying to us today. And then in a minute, I'll close in prayer and the band will come up.